And now, live from Level 5 Productions on the island of Milleronia, it's the Larry Miller Show!
Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, and everyone who wants to tell a joke to a late-night host. Hi, folks, and welcome back to the Larry Miller Show. I'm Larry Miller, but in a way, aren't we all? And boy, has it ever been beautiful and cold here in Southern California. We're on the mainland now. The Colonel and I are not recording in Milleronia. But it's been beautiful. It's Southern California. Most people, I don't think most Americans understand how cold Southern California gets. Meaning you'd think, my wife and I didn't have heat in the house, our house here, Stately Miller Manor. And we didn't have heat when we first bought / made the place. And the reason for that was we thought, well, it's Southern California. Come on. How cold can it get? And then my dad, God bless him, stayed with us after my mom had passed on. And he was, well, I loved them both, and I love them both still. But he was one of the toughest fellas you'd ever want to meet. Real good, tough background. And, oh, boy, it worked. They didn't have much dough, but he went through everything. And when he was in the service, they were cold all the time. They were frozen all the time. And when he came here to spend a couple of weeks, we had a guest bedroom. That was before either of the kids were born. And I was about to say, and we were working our butts off to make that happen. But, of course, we weren't, were we? But my dad, the first night he spent in that guest room, he said, after everything he's been through, as tough as he was, he said to me the next day, I made him breakfast. He was sitting and came out and was sitting in the kitchen, and I gave him a cup of coffee. And he said, do you have any heat in the house? And I said, well, no, we don't. And he said, get some. So as tough as he was, even he thought, whoa, because in those rooms, I'm telling you, those rooms get down, well, to 49, 50 in the night. Well, we have a heat in there now, but, well, you know, heat also, once you go to sleep in it, and you wake up a couple hours later, because suddenly it's 74 in the room there, and, well, you feel like you're in prison in India, but I mean, he really noticed that, well, it was a lot colder than you want. But it was beautiful today anyway, and when Colonel Jeff got to Miller Manor, he got out of that car, and he was stepping lively just to get some of the equipment and bring it into the studio. And I went out to say hi and get him, and just... holy mackerel, I did too, and I just, whoa, 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 whoa. And we were both whoaing our way through the garage into the studio. But in any case, that's how cold it can be. But that music makes it beautiful anyway, and it always makes me feel happy. Of course, that's the Bleecker Bob Orchestra and the Kay Ballard Dancers, featuring boy tenor Brad Simpson asking the musical question, how tall does a fecta have to be before it turns into an ivory tower? Well, good question, Brad. And for some of you folks who aren't longtime listeners, we used to have, well, a competition with me, with myself, about I never wanted to throw out old chips of soap as they got smaller and smaller in the shower. And I wondered, well, you know, how many pieces can I melt together, and how would I melt them together? You could just hold them under the hot water there and kind of palm squeeze them together and let them dry off, and that's fine with me. But in order to do that, that was based on the old phrase, the trifecta, which is a betting thing, right, for racetracks with horses. God, I sound like an idiot there. Don't I just feel like on a racetrack with horses. But that was for a trifecta. And then we had our top of the list was a fivefecta. And I got one of those, too. And we took a picture and published it. And we had several shows. I would mention the progress and what was happening. And a couple of folks, by the way, and thank you very much again, sent in ideas about how you can melt bars of soap. Not whole bars. That's kind of cheating and pointless. But, I mean, when you have the little wedges left, you can melt those. And it could be anything. It could be ivory. It could be Irish spring. It could be lava. Lava is always one of my favorites. Woodbury, though, was always my favorite because that's what we used to play shower hockey with in high school. And after practice and the teams in the fall were always soccer, football, and so in the shower, a lot of the guys would, those are big varsity showers there, so they were pretty big. They had about a dozen or so shower heads, and about 26 guys who used to play shower hockey. And Barry Hames, that's right, organized it and just and printed a newsletter called the Shower Hockey Monthly. That was great. It was about things that were going on. And the official soap for shower hockey was Woodbury. And if you have to ask why, number one, I don't know, but it was. And number two, just get some Woodbury. That's why. So that's the brief history of what a fecta is. And Brad Simpson brought it back by asking that good question. How tall does a fecta have to be before it turns into an ivory tower? Well, Brad, first of all, Colonel Jeff and I took your question seriously. We take all questions seriously and talked about it for a while. And I said 100 feet sounded about right. And the colonel said, well, phew, wow, that's ambitious. He felt that was very ambitious. And he thought making 100-foot tower with just even bricks or cinder blocks might be hard to make 100 feet. And I agreed. He was right there. And I said, how tall do you think it should be? And he thought, well, since you're dealing with little chips of soap, he thought 10 feet might be plenty. And you know what? I agreed. I said, I think you've got it there. And so we'll stay with that. And we'll say 10 feet will do it. Boy, it will take quite a while, though. If one of you folks out there wants to try that, remember, it has to be chips, not tiny chips, not a millionth of an inch thick. But you know what I mean. And everyone knows what I mean. Chips of soap. And so if you really had to, you could shower with one, but you wouldn't like it. And the soap wouldn't like it either. So in any case, good question. Boy, Brad, you know, how tall does a fecta have to be before it turns into an ivory tower? 10 feet, Brad. And by Amazon and PayPal. That's right. Boy, these companies, I think, are the most terrific places we have. And that's true that I like them because they're sponsors. And Amazon, boy, oh boy, you can get anything you want at Amazon, except, of course, an actual Amazon. You can't get a gorgeous woman who's got those gold bands on. You might want to. I would want to. Colonel Jeff would want to. And, you know, to me, boy, I think Gal Gadot was just a terrific Wonder Woman in the movie Wonder Woman that was just out a year or two ago. But, well, my heart will always belong to Linda Carter and from TV's Wonder Woman. And she was a terrific actress and, frankly, gorgeous also. I'm just, I was talking to a friend of mine who's gay, and we were on the phone, and he said that we were looking something up. He was showing me how to do this on the internet, and we got to a TV section of TV stars, and we passed Linda Carter, who had that great Arms Akimbo out thing, and she's just looking right at the camera with a sly smile, and the whole Wonder Woman uniform of the blue spangled shorts and everything. And I said, so wait a minute, let me ask you something, because I, you know, as I mentioned, he's gay. And I said, so Linda Carter doesn't do anything for you, right? Because she's killing me. I mean, I'm about ready to just slide down the chair like Mercury. And he said, no, it doesn't do anything for me. And then just below her, there was the guy who was the Green Hornet, the guy in the Green Hornet TV show. And wasn't Bruce Lee his partner in that? And I can't remember the star's name there, but there was a picture of him in a suit, and he was, you know, and with the mask on. And I said, so do you, but what about him? He's a good looking guy, right? And he said, yeah. And I said, you like him? Does he appeal to you? And he said, yes, he does. And I said, well, there it is. There you are. I thought I had discovered something great. I said, you could take these two pictures, like whenever you go, Thanksgiving next time, at your family, when everyone's together, and just go in the kitchen at one point where all your uncles are standing around having a drink and just yakking about this and that, and show them the pictures and explain to them, see, this is the thing. I like the Green Hornet guy. I think he's a good-looking guy. I'd like to date him. And he said, my friend said, it was funny. He was on the phone. He just said, that wouldn't work. I tried that. I've tried all sorts of things, because all they would wind up saying was, yeah, but that's Linda Carter, and she's killing us because we're just in love with her. So in any case, you know what? Go to Amazon.com. That's what you should do. And don't worry about going there yourself. You can get there on your laptop or your iPhone or anything. Go to our website. That's LarryMillerPodcast.com. Who's on the mountain, Tom Mix? Da 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 da. By the way, that was me doing the vocals on that. And by the way, if you... I'll be honest, if you said to me, well, why'd you do that? I don't know. I really don't. It was Colonel Jeff's idea. I trust everything he says. And da 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 da. Well, you know what? That's when you love your show, and we both do. That's the stuff you come up with. Da 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 da. Wow. Pretty fancy. Anyway, go to our website, and we have a banner that says Amazon. And just push that. And then go take a nap. Get into your big lazy boy chair and lean back and put a magazine over your face. And you don't have to turn on a ball game or make yourself a big sandwich. Just lean back. You know what? That'll take you where you want to go, that big soft chair. And do that, and we'll get you to Amazon. And you buy whatever you like. It doesn't cost you anything extra. And Amazon always sends us a little bit of dough, whatever a percentage of whatever all you folks order. So we thank you for that. And by PayPal, well, this is a great group, PayPal. If you enjoy the show here, and why wouldn't you, and you'd like to send a few bucks to help us out, you can do it through PayPal. And instead of saying donate or pay what you like, I always like to say just buy us some drinks. That's a good way to look at it. And there are different levels, level 1 through 5, all the way up to...
We're driving to Florida!
I wrote that and I performed it, and it still makes me chuckle. Anyway, so look for the PayPal banner on our website also. That's right, LarryMillerPodcast.com. Who's on the mountain, Tom Mix? Oh, boy, that poor fella. Breaks that guitar string. You can't go to sleep right then, even if it's 9 or 9:30 at night. You gotta, you know, take the string off, put a new string on. In any case, every little bit helps us keep the old leg lamp lit. And thank you to everyone who has contributed already and everyone who's just about to, because of the way I sell it. I sell Amazon and PayPal. In any case, let me just also mention that Bleecker Bob was a very popular, interesting fella in New York. Bleecker Bob's was a great record store there in Manhattan. And for 50 years, all the big musicians and stars and civilians went there and kept it going. And Bleecker Bob himself just passed away. So that's, well, worth it to us to just send a tip of the hat to him. And the great Kay Ballard also just passed away, a great and funny actress, and she just died too. They were both, boy, Kay Ballard could hit that ball the way Sophie Tucker could hit the back row in any theater. And that's what Edward G. Robinson used to say to producers when he was a young man, to Broadway producers. He would say, when he went in to meet them for a part, he used to say, I may not look like the kind of guy you had in mind, but I can promise you no one will ever not hear a word. And, well, he was right. So that brings me to my favorite part of the show, the joke of the week. This is my favorite part of the show. It's good to keep jokes going. And the Colonel and I both like this one. Two rednecks from our south went up to Canada, flew up there, and just, they wanted to go moose hunting, and they wanted to go, well, pretty far up north there, and they rented a plane, had a pilot in a small private plane fly them up. And that pilot just, you know, well, put them off down there, and they spent a couple of weeks themselves out there, well, hunting moose and just sleeping in a little tent. It's pretty cold there, but they had a great time together. And the pilot came back down, landed in the same spot again 2 weeks later, and to take them back. And these fellas had bagged six mooses. I don't know what the plural is for that, but six of them. And the pilot said, "Whoa, fellas, I can't take that. That's too much. Between me and you two, and it's too much for the plane to take six moose also." And they said, wait a minute. They didn't like that at all. They said, wait a minute, hold on here. Now, we hired you and to take us out, and we got six of them, and we want all of them, and we want to, and that's that. And the pilot said, I can't do it. It's too much. And they said, look, the pilot who took us last year took all six mooses too. If he can do it, you can do it. And they go back and forth on this. And finally, the pilot says, all right, you know what? Load them on. And they do. The two fellows put, their small packed gear and put those six moose right on the little plane there and right inside. And they sat down. And the pilot, they close everything out, and the pilot starts the engine and takes off. And you know what? The pilot was right. They couldn't quite get enough altitude there because of the six mooses. And they're coming up to one of the mountain ranges there, and they couldn't get over it. And well, what do you know? Sure enough, that little plane just slammed right into the mountain and crashed. And went down the rest of the way into the snowy terrain there. And the pilot was dead. And the two fellows, the two rednecks, were just, well, they were okay. They were banged up. And there were this moose all over the place. And one of the fellows says to the other, where do you think we are? And the other one says, I think we're pretty close to where we crashed last year. That's a pretty good one. Jeff and I like that very much. So the pilot last year did take the six moose, but, you know, he didn't do any better. And that brings me to my second favorite part of the show, the Poetry Corner. Nothing settles the soul like a good string quartet. This is a lovely poem. It's called The Cold Earth Slept Below by Percy Bysshe Shelley. The cold earth slept below. Above, the cold sky shone. And all around with a chilling sound, from caves of ice and fields of snow, the breath of night like death did flow beneath the sinking moon. The wintry hedge was black, the green grass was not seen, the birds did rest on the bare thorn's breast, whose roots beside the pathway track had bound their folds o'er many a crack which the frost had made between. Thine eyes glowed in the glare of the moon's dying light, as a fen fire's beam on a sluggish stream gleams dimly, so the moon shone there, and it yellowed the strings of thy tangled hair that shook in the wind of night. The moon made thy lips pale, beloved, the wind made thy bosom chill, the night did shed on thy dear head its frozen dew, and thou didst lie where the bitter breath of the naked sky might visit thee at will. Isn't that lovely? Percy Bysshe Shelley. And he was very famous, an English poet, lived from 1792 to 1822. A short life. The son of a member of Parliament, and he was married to another great writer, Mary Shelley, who wrote, among other things, Frankenstein, wrote the book. So Percy became a famous poet, but then died young at 30 in a sailing accident. But that sure was a nice poem. And that brings me to my third favorite part of the show, the Magic Movie Moment. There's still nothing like a great movie, and still nothing like a great magic movie moment, which I love looking for. And, you look for them too. You think of them too, and send us a good example. It would really make us happy if you did. This is a great one, though. From 2008, Gran Torino, starring Clint Eastwood. Oh, what a cast. Brian Haley, B. Vang, Ani Hare, Christopher Carley, John Carroll Lynch, and directed by Clint Eastwood, too. He directed many movies, many of his movies, including The Outlaw Josie Wales, so many. And this magic movie moment is, to me, the big climax when Clint himself, playing Walt Kowalski, goes to confront the gangbangers who are causing so many problems throughout the movie, and in addition to confronting them, to save his neighbors, who are the cousins of the leader of the gang, by sacrificing his life. He's dressed in his new suit, shirt, and tie, which he had made just for this gathering. And he'd never had a suit made before, never had any fancy clothes, but he did for this. And he got a new haircut, too, with his friend the barber. And he was showing, he got his haircut for this meeting, too. So he was very sharp, and he knew what this was about. Because, number one, he dresses down the leader by bringing up how he raped his cousin. And he says to him, boy, he doesn't hold anything back. He says, your own blood. And the guy is so thrown by that, he can't even respond, even in their tough way. And Eastwood winds up intentionally faking them all out. They're all armed with big automatic weapons, and Eastwood takes out his military cigarette lighter and forces them into shooting him down, before which he says the Hail Mary that Woolwell would make his wife so happy, and she had already passed away. But it's a great scene. There's more in the movie, but this fella, another great character that Clint Eastwood was, Walt Kowalski, and he was brave, he was tough, he was a great ex-soldier from fighting in Korea, and by the way, he won the Congressional Medal of Honor in Korea. He's quite a man, and he had his problems. He didn't get along with his sons as well as he wanted to, but we see him the whole movie, and we love him. And you know what? If you haven't seen it, see Gran Torino. You'll really, really like it. And if you've seen it before, see it again. What a cast, what a script, what a good director, and what great stars. And it made me think, because my wife got back from dinner with her friends, Susie and Amber, and this is before we started recording, and she always talks to Colonel Jeff, and they like each other, and she always talks to him about something that was in the news today, and she's really into it, and Colonel Jeff is into it, and I'm not into it. That's maybe you can tell, but I mean, I don't trust any of these folks. But she said today when she came in and said hello after her dinner out with friends that, this guy is going to prison tomorrow, it looks like. And I don't remember who the guy was. And Jeff says, yeah, looks like. And I don't know about you, I just try to nod and smile and look like I know what they're saying, but I don't. And she cares and he cares and I don't. I don't care. And if you care, that's fine with me. But at that point, then the Colonel Jeff said to my wife, "Wait, wasn't there a symbol on his website of the thing, the group of this or that?" And someone said it was also a white power sign. And my wife said, "No." And I said, "Oh boy, what was the thing of the symbol? I don't even know what I'm talking about." I turned to Colonel Jeff and said, what was the thing? I kind of whispered, and he said, "I don't know." And my wife didn't know. And I didn't know, and I thought that was the perfect time for me to go to the bathroom. And it was. Now, that's all that happened, which is nothing in particular, but I just wanted to let you know about my foray into contemporary news in Washington, and it all comes down to this. I don't know, they don't know, and I don't care. If you're really into these things, I want you to know that, please believe me, taking a nap or doing a crossword puzzle will be a much better use of your time. And at that point, Colonel Jeff had said to me, "Now tell the folks when you're on the air that when I know what your wife is talking about, I'm kind of proud. And when I don't know what she's talking about, I'm also kind of proud." And I said, "What are you proud of?" And he looked at me and said, "I don't know." And so we're two very pleasant fellas. There you have it, folks. At the Larry Miller Show, we don't really know or care what's going on. Inviting us to Washington to be on a committee is probably not a good idea. But let's be honest, the folks on those committees don't seem to know what they're doing anyway. I think the best idea for Colonel Jeff and me is to just stay here on Milleronia or on the mainland, and make this show for you, which I think is a pretty good show, and so does the Colonel, and I hope so do you too. You know what? But it goes to show you, look, I love acting, I love comedy, I love writing, but even when friends give me a good idea, I usually don't pull it off. I can't. There was a when we were all doing the talk shows as young comics, and at one time, and I was on the Merv Griffin show a bunch of times, I think 8 or 10 times, and at one point, Leno said to me, and we were always friends, and he said to me, hey, do you tell, you know what, tell Merv a joke before the show starts. Just wait backstage there to where he's going to come down and, you know, walk on to the set there when they start. And there's always a couple of minutes left. So go over, say hi, shake hands, and then get a, you know, get a joke ready and tell him a joke. I always tell him a joke every time I'm on the show. Now, that sounded like a good idea. So, oh, all right, okay. But it's not my style. I don't know how to do that. Leno's great at everything he does. He can just go, hey, Merv, how you doing? Hey, so two guys do this and then just tell a joke. And he's always great at telling jokes. And Merv would laugh. And, oh, boy, it was a great moment. Okay, I'll see you out there. So Merv came by, and I was standing there per my orders. And I was all set. I had my suit on and the makeup they put on. And Merv came up and said, hi, Larry. Good to see you. Glad you're on the show. He was always very nice. And I said, hi, Merv. Good to see you, too. And, hey, I have a joke for you. Here, and I tell it just was a little lumpy. I'm not that kind of person. That's fine. And I'm glad Jay is, but I told him the joke, which wasn't even a great joke. I can't even remember what it is. It was just a joke. And he was very gracious and just laughed, kind of, all right, see you out there, Larry. Have a good one. But that's something to love about yourself when you realize it. I'm not right for doing stuff like that. I'm glad I'm there. I was grateful that, oh, they like me, I like them, and they want me on the show. That's enough right there for me. At one time, George Wallace, who's a great comedian, if you know him, I hope you do. Boy, he's just great. And he said to me, I was going to fly off somewhere to go on the road. And he said to me, hey, do you know how to get first class when you have coach seats? He said, who doesn't want to hear that? I said, why? What do you mean? And he said, what you do is you got your ticket in the envelope there, the ticket thing that where they put the little boarding pass in. He said, what you do is take out a $20 bill and put it in the envelope too, but so that it shows, so that it's sticking out of the top just a half inch or so, but it's clearly a $20 bill. And then what you do is you say to the guy, you hand that to the ticket clerk at the gate and say to him, say, I'm just wondering, do you have any first-class tickets today available? And that's enough. Wallace can get anything. And I did that. I had to pump myself up. But just when there was no one there at the clerk, it was about 5 minutes before boarding, and I kind of strolled over there and, you know, heart beating and just sweating through my clothes. And I handed him the ticket and smiled and said, what Wallace had told me, you know, hi, I just wondering, I'm on the flight to whatever it was, Cincinnati or something. And I said, do you have any first class seats available? And he looked down at the ticket and looked back up at me and said, are you trying to bribe me? Folks, I about collapsed. I, once again, almost slid down the front of the counter there. I was so embarrassed, and I was so sorry, and I just said to him, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't, a friend of mine told me what to do that. I could do that, and I'm just so sorry. And he just looked at me. He didn't let me off the hook either, by the way. Whatever that's worth. I mean, it's not the end of the world, but I flew in the regular seat. I said, may I just get on the plane in the regular way in the seat they had, which I'm sure I know is a terrific seat to whatever they gave me first. And he let me do that. And I lost about 35 pounds just doing that at the ticket counter. So, you know what, folks? Don't push too hard. If you're not made for something like that, good. It's good that your friends are made for it. I know that I don't need it. And maybe you know that too, because we know the same things. Homer is Homer, and Pluto is a planet. So remember, folks, as always, if you walked out of bed today and had a job to go to and a home to come back to and someone there who cares about you, folks, the game's over and you've won. So be good to yourself and don't try too hard. And we'll see you here next week.